She'll probably be trying to get out. But Madison, she's having fun, living an old-time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Hello everyone, this is Edward October. I'm your host once again for this year's Madison on the Air Halloween episode. Escape was an anthology series. In 1954, they premiered their adaptation of Daphne du Maurier's short story, The Birds, nearly a decade before Hitchcock would bring it to the silver screen. Escape's adaptation is closer to that of the original story, but you know what happens when Madison gets involved. I'm just warning you, there's no tippy-hedron. But you still might get to the end and think twice about that bird feeder you have outside your window. Now, let me set the scene. You are in a cottage on the southern coast of England. The autumn countryside surrounds you, desolate and bleak. And you know that in the dusk outside, waiting patiently for you, silently watching for you, is an enemy from whom there may be no escape.
Okay, I'd taken a job as like a governess to the Hawkins family. They were British, so I was thinking it'd be all Mary Poppins with spoonfuls of sugar and dancing with hot chimney sweeps. But instead, it was just the day-to-day grind dealing with two little kids and their mom who didn't want to actually raise her own kids, but didn't trust me to do anything either. The husband had gotten them this cottage on coastal farmland. He was supposed to visit from London on weekends, but you know how that goes. So I was stuck alone with the mom, Deborah, who clearly wasn't taking isolation very well. There wasn't a lot to do when the kids were at school, so she would insist I sit with her on the cliffside while we ate lunch, and she bitched.
The country is simply full of birds, isn't it, Madison?
Where else would you put them?
All that endless chirping. In the city, we don't have to hear all this mindless chattering.
It is very inconsiderate. Damn you, nature! Existing!
There are so many more birds now that it's late autumn. In the spring, they seemed to know where they were going, but now it's autumn, and they don't appear to have any purpose.
Right! They should stop playing video games, get off the sofa, and find jobs!
I mean, in the spring, they build nests, lay eggs.
You're upset that in the fall they're not horny, trying to hook up and make little baby birds?
It gives them purpose.
I like the male birds who do little dances and stuff to try to attract a mate. Human dudes do that too. But instead of flashing colorful tail feathers, they drive up in an expensive sports car and flash a gold card. It's ensuring survival of the richest.
Just look at those flocks on the peninsula. They're restless, uneasy, wheeling, circling, coming to rest, then flying again. The land birds and the gulls down there in the bay. Oh, there's a restlessness. Well, they're more restless this year than usual, it seems to me.
You know, this morning, two seagulls totally dive-bombed me. Reminded me of the seagulls at the Santa Monica Pier. Those bastards have no fear. They will take a French fry out of your hand and your finger along with it.
Jill said yesterday when the school bus let her off, there was quite a few of them overhead, as if they'd been following.
Once I was followed by a Canadian goose, I made eye contact and it started chasing me. I figured out why Canadian geese are so mean. Because we took their leader, Canadian Ryan Gosling.
Oh, I suppose if the birds are restless, it means a hard, lonely winter. They always seem to know. Perhaps a message comes to them in autumn. A warning about death.
Okay, birds and death. Great lunch topic. Goes really well with the chicken salad.
It's nature, Madison. Many of the birds will die, and I think they know it. Perhaps they feel they have to spill their emotion out before they die. like people who know their time is up and run about stupidly.
Uh-huh. All work and no play make Debbie go cray-cray?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madison, but it's come over me lately as I've watched them. The land birds mingling with the seabirds in a sort of strange, unnatural partnership. Land and sea. Life and death.
Cray and Z.
That night it turned colder and the wind strengthened. It was December 3rd, and it seemed like in only a matter of hours, autumn had been replaced by winter. Around 2 in the morning, the sound of the wind beating against the house awakened Madison.
Am I seriously awake because of wind? Unless this house is halfway to Oz, I'm going back to sleep.
And then she heard it. A tapping on the window. Could it be a loose shutter? A tree branch, perhaps? No, it was too strong, too deliberate. So she climbed out of bed.
Oh, if one of those stupid kids rigs something up to try to scare me, they're gonna have to try harder. I had my little sister believing an evil troll lived in her closet. I put an old cell phone in her room and would play slow scratching noises all night long. Even in college, she still slept with the lights on.
Madison reached the window and opened it. Suddenly, something brushed against her hand and jabbed at her knuckles.
Ah, ow! Come for the French fries, huh? Try it with a broken beak.
Then it was gone, over the roof and behind the cottage.
Madison, be quiet. The children need their rest.
Sure, don't mind me. I'm just here getting attacked by a bird.
A bird?
Yeah, look at my hand. The damn thing drew blood.
Well, don't get it on the carpeting.
Your empathy has no bounds.
I don't know why you'd open a window in the middle of a windstorm.
The bird was pecking at the window.
Have you gotten into my husband's scotch again?
That is irrelevant to this situation.
Just be more quiet so you don't disturb the children.
It's back. And I think it brought friends.
That's just the wind rattling the window. See if you can't fix it.
It's not the wind. It's a bunch of birds trying to get in.
Well, send them away. I can't sleep with that noise.
Send them away? Do pardon me, birds, but the mistress has requested you leave the premises at once. Golly, why ever did her husband send her to live in the boonies and then never come to visit? Unsolved mysteries. Okay, let's send you guys away. Ah! Get out of here, you dang birds! Or I'll introduce you to a jet turbine! Ah! Not the face! I'm a makeup influencer! I need to stay pretty for ad revenue! Ah!
Madison! Whatever in the world are you doing in here?
Didn't you see that? There were a bunch of them this time! They tried to peck my eyes, and I don't think I could get replacement contacts in the 1950s.
Just how much of that scotch did you drink?
Barely any. There wasn't much left.
Mommy?
Now see what you've done? You've woken up Jill.
Mommy?
Well?
Well what?
Go see what's the matter.
She's calling for you.
But I pay you.
Can I at least see to my wounds first?
Mommy?
No.
Coming, Jill! This kind of parenting is exactly the reason I only bonded with my nanny, my teachers, and that weird guy who lived on our block and gave us candy. The room is filled with angry birds! Ah, stop it! I am not a green pig!
They keep flying at me! Get away!
Where's your brother?
Under the blanket!
Come on, Johnny! We gotta get out of here!
No!
He's afraid of the birds!
Come on, Johnny! Get out of that blanket!
You said the blanket would protect me from monsters!
You're gonna throw that lie back in my face now?
You lied!
Yes! I lied to children to shut them up! Now move it, or Santa will never ever visit you again!
Not Father Christmas!
Let's go!
Madison pushed the children out of the room. and was alone with the birds, she seized a blanket and used it as a weapon, sweeping it right and left.
Away, you songbird from hell!
The birds kept coming at her, their bodies smacking into the blanket. They jabbed at her hands and her head, trying for her eyes with beaks as sharp as pointed forks.
Not the face!
She tossed the blanket around her head, flailing blindly at the birds. Time beat to the rhythm of the flapping wings until it slowed and became still. Madison unwrapped the blanket from her face to find the floor littered with the tiny corpses of the birds. Robins, finches, sparrows, larks. Some had lost feathers in the fight. Others had blood. Madison's blood on their beaks.
It's like that zoo aviary all over again.
The fierce sea broke harshly in the morning daylight, but there was not a bird in sight. Not a sparrow chattered in the hedge. No early thrush or blackbird pecked on the grass for worms. There was no sound at all but the east wind and the sea.
Madison? Madison!
Ugh, there you are. Did you sleep here in the children's room? I had them in my bed with me all night, and Johnny refused to let me cover him with a blanket because something you said about monsters.
Is it morning?
On top of that, I had to make breakfast.
Sorry! I must have slept through my alarm. What with battling birds all night?
You are a ghastly sight. Is that blood?
Yeah. Do you not see the dead birds ankle deep on the floor?
Oh, there are so many of them.
Like 50 or so? I lost count when I passed out.
Well, you can clean the room later. Jill needs to get ready for school.
So, are you just doing the denial thing then? It's okay. I'm used to it. When a coyote broke into our garage, my mom drove around with him in the backseat of her convertible all day, telling people it was a skinny husky.
I'm sure there's nothing to this bird thing. It must be the weather. The sudden change confused them. It has to be that.
Okay, so next step is a diamond collar and a Gucci dog sweater.
The tea's ready, Mummy.
Ah, good.
Madison, are you all cut up from the birds?
There are no birds, dear.
Right. No birds. I was running with scissors and fell. 20 or 30 times.
Did you drive away the birds?
There are no birds, dear.
So they're all gone?
I don't want to hear anything more about birds. You're giving Mummy one of her headaches.
Yeah, Jill. They're all gone. Just maybe don't go into your bedroom today.
I hope they won't come again. Perhaps if we put breadcrumbs for them outside the window, they'll eat that and fly away.
Well, if you want to kill them, then give them breadcrumbs. Because when birds eat bread, it swells in their stomachs, making them feel full so they don't eat. The bread has no nutritional value for them, so they slowly waste away and die.
Oh, no.
And after what they did to me last night, grab me a loaf.
Jill, you'd better hurry or you'll be late for the school bus.
Okay, Mummy. I'll go get my coat and books.
Bus? She's gonna go outside and wait for the bus? What about the birds out there?
I told you, I don't want to hear any more about those birds.
Okay, I get the attitude. Your husband's not here and there's some sexual frustration. If you want, when I come back, you and I could...
If you're so worried about the birds, why don't you walk Jill to the bus stop?
That's fine. It's the 50s. You're trained to deny and repress.
But hurry back. Johnny says he's sick after what you did last night.
What I did? Saved his life?
From monsters you invented, apparently.
I see what's happening here. It's the 50s, and you've never been introduced to the big O, have you?
I'm ready to go, Mommy.
Madison will walk with you.
While I'm out, I could go into town and pick up some Mummy's little helper.
She's going to be late for school.
Come on, Jill. Some women have to come to it on their own. Like I did one summer with my 10-speed.
Is Mommy all right, Madison?
Repeat that thing I'm always telling you.
I is kind, I is smart, I is important, and eventually I'll grow up, start dating a bad boy with more tattoos than brains, and Mummy won't be able to do a damn thing about it.
Good girl.
So Madison escorted little Jill and waited with her until the bus drove the child off to school. For all outward appearances, the morning seemed like any other, but the lack of birds anywhere on the horizon left an eerie stillness, like the sky just before it unleashes a terrible storm. It was on the walk back that Madison encountered Mrs. Trigg, the old woman who owned the farmland adjacent to the Hawkins family cottage.
Oh, hello, Miss Standish.
Hey, Mrs. Trigg.
How early this morning, eh? Or by that scotch on your breath, perhaps you're out late last evening.
Speaking of alcoholics, where's your husband?
Somewhere's about. But can you tell me where this cold is coming from, eh? Is it Russia? I've never seen such a change, and it's going on, the wireless says, right? And something to do with the Arctic Circle.
Do you know the average person talks about the weather 45 hours a year? 45 hours we give away to surface conversations with boring people.
Boring, eh? Well, is there something more interesting going on that you feel worthy of conversation then?
Didn't you guys get those crazy birds last night?
Crazy birds? Oh, you city folk. You hear one hooting owl up in the trees and you think it's coming for you.
It was not an owl. Owls are awesome. Ever since Hedwig took the killing curse meant for Harry, which not only showed her devotion to him, but represented the loss of innocence and the direness of the war Harry was about to face. And
speaking of boring conversations, I have already told you, just because I'm British doesn't mean I know this Harry Potter you keep talking about.
Yeah, but
or Downton Abbey.
Anyway, last night a bunch of birds broke into our house and attacked.
Attacked? Now, Miss Standish.
I'm serious. You could go see their little corpses all over the kid's bedroom. It looks like Sylvester the Cat's wet dream in there.
Heavens. Was they foreign birds?
What a strangely racist question to ask about birds.
I mean, the birds we got round here aren't known for attacking anybody. So.
But a foreign bird can't be trusted.
Morning, Miss Standish.
Hey, Mr. Trigg.
Yeah, Miss Standish here has been telling about birds last night.
Oh, got to the master scotch again, did she?
Says the guy who's got a reserve stool at the local pub.
She says they attacked her.
Birds attacked? Never heard of such a thing like that before. Hungry, maybe. Looking for food. Had that happen once with a neighbour's effer. Seems she'd wandered off, and the next thing I knew, she was in the middle of our parlour. Well, it was all I could do to chase her from the house.
No, dear, that was when you came back from the pub in the middle of my bridge game. You chased off poor Mrs. Turner. Woman was a bit large, see, and that calfskin shawl she wore certainly didn't do her any justice.
Well, Miss Standish, if you're worried about birds, you tried putting out some crumbs.
Only in self-defense.
We'll let you know if we spot a sparrow with mischief in his eyes.
Or some crows gathering for murder, you know, because a group of crows is going to murder. Ain't that right, though?
I never get tired of that joke.
Yeah, you and everyone who shares those memes on social media. Okay, later.
Ordinary bird, she said.
Attacked her? What does she take us for? Coming round with a story like that. Attacked her. Think she reads too many of those books.
What books would these be, eh? The ones you keep under the mattress with pictures inside?
Yeah, we could both go look at them books right now, if you want.
Before breakfast? Oh, why, Mr. Trigg, you're a devilish one, aren't you?
Come here.
All right, then. Bagsy, I choose the first page.
Nice of you to decide to return.
Did you know Johnny went into the children's bedroom to retrieve a toy? And I had to spend a better part of an hour picking feathers off his pajamas.
I'm gonna clean it up, Mummy dearest.
What took you so long getting back?
I ran into the Triggs. Didn't you leave me any coffee? Do I have to be a nanny and a barista?
The Triggs? Don't tell me you brought up the trouble from last night. That's all I need is Mrs. Trigg gossiping to her bridge club.
Don't worry, they didn't believe me. And they totes made fun of me behind my back. They didn't think I could hear them, so I got an earful of old people kink. Ugh, I wish those birds had pecked off my ears.
Well, I'd be very happy if we had no more discussion of birds.
Not a problem. I looked all around. No birds anywhere. It was kind of creepy. Reminds me of the time we went to Disneyland and it was totally empty.
No birds? Where do you suppose they've gone?
I don't know about the birds, but apparently Disney was closed due to a measles outbreak. So we pulled a Wally World and got the security guard to take us on all the rides. We still visit Carlos on holidays.
You say the Triggs didn't have any trouble last night.
Apparently not. They did that whole bashing the city slickers thing. Like it's a badge of honor to live somewhere without art, culture, or dentistry.
Well, once you've cleaned up the children's room, we can put all of this bird's nonsense behind us.
As soon as I've had my coffee.
Mommy, look at my new puppet! I'm a birdie! Tweet, tweet, tweet!
Ugh. How about I clean up those dead birds now?
Mommy, his wing fell off! Fix it!
Madison went upstairs to clean up the birds and the blood.
It looks clean to the naked eye, but luminol is going to light this room up like a Christmas tree, which will save us in holiday decorations.
Per Deborah's request, she took the sack full of dead birds down to the beach to bury them. The wind was bitter cold. Madison dug a pit in the sand with her heel and started to empty the sack into it. But the wind caught the birds and whirled them along the shore.
It looks like my friend's wedding when they released a flock of doves that had been left in the van in 90-degree heat.
No matter. The tide would take them when it turned. Madison looked out at the crested breakers. It was then that she saw them. The gulls. Out there. Riding the seas. Thousands. Tens of thousands. They rose and fell in the trough of the sea like a mighty fleet at anchor, waiting for the turn of the tide. Waiting.
Somebody better call McDonald's. We're gonna need 10,000 large fries.
Madison started up the steep path home, almost running. Someone should know this. Someone should be told. But who? And then as she opened the front door, she saw Deborah beside the wireless, listening.
Possible destruction, damage, and even attacking individuals. It is thought that the Arctic airstream is causing the birds to migrate south in immense numbers, and that intense hunger may drive them to attack human beings. Householders are warned to see to their windows, doors, and chimneys, and to take all precautions for the safety of their children. Further bulletins will be issued later. And now the news from Wales.
They've been repeating it every few minutes since you left.
So have you moved past denial with the birds then, or what?
Madison, you sound almost glad.
I'm sorry, but you were gaslighting me, and I'm not going to let you do it. Just like I didn't let that team of therapists do it at my intervention.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madison. This thing has made me a little nervy, I guess.
Okay, well, pull it together. For the sake of the children or whatever.
The wireless said the birds are hungry?
For human blood.
What are you doing?
Your husband got anything we can use to board up the windows and doors?
Do you think they could break in with the windows shut? The sparrows and robins and such? Why, how could they?
Not the small birds. The gulls.
The gulls?
Debbie?
Deborah.
Debbie, have you ever been close enough to get a good look at a gull's beak? There must be 100,000 of them out there, riding the sea, waiting.
Waiting? For what?
Revenge.
Revenge? For what?
They've got long memories, Debbie. Long memories.
What are you talking about?
I've said too much.
She's gotten into the scotch again.
Madison worked upstairs, boarding the bedroom windows.
Ow!
The best she could, while intoxicated.
This is London.
Deborah continued to listen to the wireless. At first, some of the bulletins had been light in tone, but as the day wore on, the concern in the announcer's voice became more and more apparent. After she'd finished upstairs, Madison took the rest of the lumber downstairs and boarded up the lower floor windows.
Geese and swans.
What they ought to do is call the army out and shoot the birds. That would soon scare them off.
Ow!
As citizens, we deserve to be protected.
Well, if they're foreign birds, maybe they'll call the Marines.
Are you finished boarding up the house?
Yeah, I think I got everything.
Mummy! Mummy, it's dark in here!
Did you board Johnny in the cupboard?
It's for his own good.
Mummy!
Just take your nap, dear.
So, Debbie, how are we for food?
We've got whatever you bought in the larder.
What I bought?
You're supposed to do the shopping.
Right.
You haven't gone shopping, have you?
How am I supposed to go grocery shopping? We don't even have a car!
You walk, and I suggest you go immediately.
But look at the sky! It's only 3 in the afternoon, and it's practically dark!
What? Why, yes. The sky... It looks so heavy.
Look, the tide's turned. The gulls.
They've risen.
Circling over the sea. Not a sound from them.
Madison, you must go for Jill. Wait for her at the bus stop.
The hell I will! She's your kid. You go get her.
But you're the nanny.
Fran Drescher would never have put up with this.
Outside, Madison looked for a weapon, but all she could find was a garden hoe. And then she went to the top of the hill and waited. The surf was booming below when a dark mass rose behind the clay hills in the distance. It widened, divided, and spread north, east, south, west. It was a vast cloud of birds, and it passed close by, heading inland, up country. As if they had no business with the people there on the peninsula. Rooks, crows, jackdaws, magpies, birds that usually preyed upon the smaller species, flew as one and headed to town, bound on some other mission. Finally, the bus came, and Jill got off. Madison took her by the hand.
Madison, what's the hoe for?
Keeping daddy's happy for money.
How does it do that?
How does it... Oh, you mean the... Oh, never mind. Just stop dawdling.
Look, Madison. Look at the gulls.
Must go faster.
Where are they flying to?
Must go faster.
They're circling.
Must go faster!
Madison, slow down. Oh, I can't keep up.
You either move those little legs of yours, or I'm leaving you behind.
It looks like the gulls are waiting for something.
Yeah, for a signal. From the mothership. They've been counting down. Checkmate!
What?
I just wedged in 2 Jeff Goldblum references in 1 scene. Now let's move it!
Wait, isn't that Mr. Drake's call?
Great, another bird denier.
Well, looks as though we're in for some fun, eh, Miss Standish?
I really don't want to hear what you and Mrs. Trigg do behind closed doors.
Haven't you heard the news? Everyone's gone bird crazy. Talking to nothing else. I'm going to take a crack at them with my gun.
Oh, good. The solution to our problems. An army of gun nuts shooting into the sky.
Say, little one, you look out of breath.
Madison, they're making me run.
We have to get home, like, now.
Well, how about I take Jill home in my car?
Yes, please.
It's a 2-seater, mind. Only room for 1 passenger, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, Jill, you know your way home, don't you?
What?
Fine, go. But I will never understand why the leads in these stories always sacrifice themselves to save the children. I hate kids.
Aren't you their nanny?
Okay, I like getting paid more than I hate kids.
Well, it's a lot of nonsense, all this bird talk.
Have you boarded up your windows?
No! He liked to scare you on the wireless.
As the lead, I'm giving you the official warning that could save your life. Of course, you're going to ignore it, and then later on, the audience is going to be like, you should have listened to her.
Oh, go on.
Proving my point.
Well, see you in the morning. I'll give you a go for breakfast.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. Ha! Three Jeff Goldblum movie references.
Madison watched Mr. Trigg drive Jill toward the cottage and then followed on foot. The sound made her look up. The gulls were approaching. The order had been given. The black-backed gulls were leading and were bigger birds, gannets, terns, and suddenly one of them dove.
Ah! Ha! You missed me! Ha! Missed again! Strike three! You're out!
And then came the others. Six, seven, a dozen.
Ah! They're rushing the mound!
Madison dropped the hoe, covered her head with her arms, and ran toward the cottage. The birds kept coming at her face from the air with beating wings. Each stab of a swooping beak tore at her flesh.
Not the flesh!
Now their aim got better, closer to her eyes, closer.
Ah!
And then she reached the door of the cottage. There, above her, she saw the gannet poised against the sky for its dive. The gulls drew back. Only the huge gannet remained. Its crown of yellow feathers framed its head like a halo, but its cold stare was that of a demon. Suddenly, the wings folded to its body, and it dropped at her like a stone.
Ah!
Madison!
Out of the way, woman!
Good Lord! What was that?
I think the avian flu got Big Bird.
Big Bird?
Someone needs to tell him how to get to Sesame Street.
Better now?
Yeah, thanks. Where'd you get the scotch? I thought we were out.
I had a hidden stash. Mummy's little helper.
Debbie, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
The children are in the other room. I didn't want them to see you this way.
Drunk?
No, that seems unavoidable. I mean, bleeding from the bird attack.
Wait! Listen.
That sound. What is it?
The birds. They're crowding against the outside of the house. They're trying to find a way in. Like ugly girls trying to get into a popular nightclub.
Do you think they'll get in?
I don't know. I was never outside the club long enough to see what happened.
I mean, the birds.
I boarded up all the windows and doors.
But will that hold?
I don't know. Do I look like Bob Vila? I'm more like the Property Brothers, because I'm hot and you wish there were two of me.
They must hold. They simply must.
Maybe everyone should sleep here in the kitchen tonight. It's got the brick features and all that.
Will you bring down the mattresses?
Oh, yeah. I'm drunk and my hands look like I reached into a garbage disposal to get a lost earring, which I don't recommend doing.
But sleep on the floor.
I've slept on kitchen floors before. It's part of my past work experience. You should have seen it on my resume.
I can't stand listening to those birds. I'll turn on the wireless. That'll drown them out. That's better. Anything so I can't hear that horrible racket.
As long as they don't play Freebird.
It's the food that worries me, Madison. You never made it to the shops.
Hang on. Idea. I noticed that the birds come in with the tide. But the tide will go out about, what, 9 tonight?
So, there should be a lull of about 6 hours.
Yeah, and I could run over to the Triggs' place and see if they'll give me something for us to eat. I'll say it's for the kids. No one wants to be the one who says no to starving children. Unless you're a politician.
This is Radio London. A national emergency was proclaimed at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Madison!
It might not be bird-related. Maybe it's another German blitz.
Measures are being taken to safeguard the lives and property of the population. But it must be understood that these are not easy to effect immediately due to the unforeseen and unparalleled nature of the present crisis.
Is it birds? Be specific!
It is absolutely imperative that everyone remain indoors until further notice. The birds, in vast numbers, are attacking everything in sight.
It is birds.
The population has to remain calm and not to panic. There will be no further transmission from any broadcasting station until 7 a.m. tomorrow.
It's like this all over then. What should we do?
Let's get those mattresses and just try to get some sleep here in the kitchen.
You're not worried?
Hey, to everything, turn, turn, turn.
Madison, wake up.
Huh? What? You told me your girlfriend was away for the weekend.
Madison, they're back again.
She's early. Tell her she can sleep on the sofa.
Wake up. It's a little after three. The tides come in again. The birds are back.
Ew, what's that smell? Are you cooking?
Oh, I'm not cooking. It's 3 a.m.
Are those kids playing with matches? I told them I'd take the matches away if they started burning things again.
It's a queer smell. Rather like burned feathers.
Burned feathers? The chimney! Did you open the damper?
Well, of course I did. I was burning a fire to keep us warm.
But the fire's died out! They're coming down the chimney!
There they are, squeezing through the chimney!
Out of here, you bastards! I'll burn you up. I'll fry you.
Flame on, human torch!
Jill, where did you get that oil?
From Johnny. He found it in the cupboard.
Well, keep it coming! Get me paper, wood, anything that'll burn! Hurry!
Shall I get you, Johnny, to burn?
Okay, demon child. Let's deal with one horror film at a time here.
The birds' charred bodies kept dropping down the chimney. Madison raked them to one side, but more came. They piled papers on it, kindling anything they could find. Jill threw on the rest of the oil and liked it. The flames roared higher, more bodies. The stench was unbearable. Finally, the birds gave up. Deborah went over to the basin. She was sick. Jill sat down, exhausted, mesmerized by the carcasses before her. And Madison?
The sky is falling, chicken bitches.
Around 9 a.m, the rustling ceased. Madison opened the door a crack. Crushed birds were deep about the house. There was not a living bird in sight. The tide had gone out. Now was her chance to get food and fuel. She ran all the way to the farm.
Ugh! All these bird guts are going to ruin my shoes.
Madison walked briskly to the farm.
Aw, damn it! Well, that's what I get for wearing suede.
Madison eventually made it to the farm. There was no smoke from the chimney. She came round the corner of the house and stopped. In the doorway, covered with dead birds, were Mr. and Mrs. Trigg. What was left of them?
Okay, audience, say it with me. I told you so! Dude, Mr. Trigg's car! I could get out of here! Well, if TV and movies have taught me anything, when the lead urgently needs keys to a stranger's car, the keys are always hidden in the sun visor. Or there's a map. Well, looks like I'm hotwiring the car, which the leads also always know how to do. OMG, there are so many wires under here.
Hours passed. Soon the tide would be coming in.
Hey, don't hurry the plot along. I'm trying to hotwire the car.
It was then that Madison noticed the keys had been in the ignition all along.
They what? Oh, thank you.
Madison loaded the two-seater with all the food she could find. Although her insistence on taking only gluten-free items severely limited her choices. Then she started driving. She would go anywhere, anywhere that wasn't here. But suddenly, a woman ran out in front of the car.
Madison!
Girl, what are you doing in the middle of the road?
That's the Trigg's car. Are they...
dead.
Then we're all alone.
Correction, you're all alone. I'm out of here.
What? You're leaving?
Consider this my 2-minute notice.
What about me, the children?
Good luck.
The gulls! Please, take us with you!
Love to, but I can't. This is a 2-seater, and I gotta comply with seatbelt laws. You understand.
You're out of petrol! All Hurry! Into the house!
Madison, Deborah, and Jill huddled by the fire and listened to the rustle as the birds crowded against the house. But this time, there was a new sound that brought up their heavier forces. The birds with larger beaks. The sound of tiny bits of wood being torn away filled the room.
They'll stay till the tide turns, and then leave. Then they'll come back again, and they'll keep coming back.
Mummy!
Mummy's gone, Jill. Say, where's your brother?
He is also gone.
Okay, I'm gonna move over to the sofa.
Madison listened to the sound of the splintering wood and wondered how many million years of memory was stored in those little brains, now giving them this instinct to destroy mankind with all the deft precision of machines. She switched on the wireless. It was dead. She reached for the bottle of scotch. There was one swig left. She downed it and threw the empty bottle into the fire and watched it burn.
Hi. I'm the lead here. Shouldn't I be escaping? Didn't they escape in the Hitchcock movie?
But this adaptation is based on the short story, not the Hitchcock film. And not everyone on this series escapes. Escape was an anthology series which ran on CBS from July 1947 to September 1954. It was a spin-off from the series Suspense, but unlike other similar anthology series, Escape spent most of its 7-year run without a sponsor, which led it to having a lower budget and frequently shifting time slots. The episodes consisted of both original and adapted stories, which would include science fiction, horror, and murder mystery. Stories usually featured a protagonist in a dire life-and-death situation.
Okay, but did they escape?
What do you think?
Yes?
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy. Madison didn't show up for this recording, no idea where she is, so let me be the one to thank you for listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon. For only $5 a month, you can get Madison exclusives. But we know it's hard to financially support all of your favorite shows, so just giving us 5 stars, a nice review, or a shout out on your favorite socials means a lot to all of us working to bring you Madison on the air. Huh, Madison still isn't here. Okay, I guess I'll roll the credits. Madison on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talon Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talon Sage. Sharon Gruenwald appeared as Deborah Hawkins and Edward October as our narrator. Other actors in the cast were Mel Rose as Jill Hawkins, Sarah Golding as Mrs. Trigg, Kareem Cronfley as Mr. Trigg, Jeremy Sage as Johnny Hawkins, and Scott R. McKinley as the BBC announcer.